Your speaker is Claude Farr.
This morning I'll be talking about how to pray, and we'll be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And so if you'd like to follow along in the passages as I read them, you can turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. This particular discussion of prayer, Jesus talks about the motive in prayer, the form of prayer, and the content of prayer. And we want to look at each of those three this morning. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 5, and this will be about the motive in praying. Verses 5 and 6. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In this particular section of Scripture, Jesus is emphasizing the motive in religion. In the preceding verses, he talked about giving of alms or charity and emphasized the importance of having the correct motive, not simply doing so to be seen of men. Then a little bit later in the chapter, he'll talk about fasting, and he will emphasize the importance of fasting before God, not fasting in order to be seen of men. And in these two verses that I just read, he's talking about praying, and he's emphasizing that prayer needs to be offered to God, not to man, that is, not as a show to be seen of men. Now, as we read this passage, we might want to kind of emphasize that this is not condemned public praying. We have many examples in the Scripture. There's several in the book of Acts of the early church where the church came together and they prayed what we would call public prayer. This is primarily about private praying. But of course, the idea will work in public praying. That is, make sure that your motive, as you lead a prayer for all the men to do, make sure your motive is to offer a sincere prayer to God, not to try to impress people, so that people will think how religious you are and how well you're able to lead a prayer. Jesus condemned the Pharisees as being hypocrites. They love to be standing on the corner of the street, or they love to be in the synagogue, and they would stand up and pray. That would be kind of comparable to if we came to service some Sunday, and before we actually got started, someone would kind of walk up front and just kind of bow their head and offer a prayer so everybody could see that they're offering a prayer before God. Now, it would be okay to do that if it was sincerely offering a prayer to God, but if a person did that in order that people might see them and think, well, how religious they are. When I grew up, we ate in public restaurants, and nobody that I knew of, at least in the town I grew up in, nobody, before they ate a meal in a public restaurant, bowed their head and started giving thanks. And then over the years, that practice has caught on, and now it's very common to see people who, in public places, when they're before a meal, to bow their heads and offer a prayer, and that's perfectly all right. What we have to be careful, though, is to make sure that we're doing that really to offer a prayer to God of thanksgiving for the food, and not just so that people who happen to be there might see and think that we're very religious. It's that kind of thing, a hypocritical prayer, that Jesus is speaking of here. So as we talk this morning about how to pray, the first thing, your motive needs to be sincere, to sincerely offer a prayer to God, not to in some way impress others who happen to know or see that you're praying. Second thing that we want to notice about prayer is the form of prayer. Let me read now verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Form of a prayer. God is not impressed with a long prayer. Now, men may be, but God is not. The fact of the matter, there's no way that we can can, by our prayer and the way we express it, there's no way that we can impress God. We're just not that good. And there's really no need for a person even to attempt that. In just a minute, we're going to look at what is usually called the Lord's Prayer and talk about the content. But from the standpoint of the form or the length, when you look at that, you can count the verses. I believe it's just 5 verses. Very short prayer. 67 words, if I counted it correctly. And then I decided to see how long it takes, and so I just kind of read through it very slowly and very deliberately, and it doesn't even take 30 seconds. Now, that's a very, very short prayer. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking of a prayer that I learned as a child, of which I guess many of us know. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now that's the prayer that we teach children, or at least used to. I don't know whether people still teach that as their children now or not, but used to teach the children. But that's a wonderful prayer. It's short, it's concise, it's to the point. It's a marvelous prayer. And what Jesus is emphasizing here is that kind of praying. Rather than a long, flowery, wordy, repetitious prayer. And one way that we can learn about praying, of course, is just to look at Jesus and His own example. So we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and listen to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Very short, very concise, very much to the point. Then again, in verse 42, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. And then verse 44 says, And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, it says, saying the same word. Now, I wanted to notice that specifically because the passage that we're looking at talks about vain repetition. And I wanted to notice Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane just to emphasize that that doesn't mean that it's wrong to repeat. Repetition and vain repetitions, two different things. It's perfectly permissible if there's something that's really on your heart to pray to God about it. And as Jesus did, pray again about it. And still again. And I don't know that you need to limit the number of times that you would pray about it, but Jesus at least prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the text says in the same words. He offered the very same prayer. So we're not talking about repetition, but we are talking about, when we talk about the form of prayer, we're talking about not a long, wordy, flowery, we might use the word ostentatious type prayer, and many things of that nature. But now I read the prayer that Jesus offered in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you saw how short that was. That wasn't even a whole verse. That was a very short prayer. But now, to kind of balance that, let's take the longest prayer. And that's found in John 17. We won't turn and read all that, but it's over a page in my Bible, maybe a page and a half in my Bible in John 17. And that's the prayer that Jesus offered, one of the prayers He offered before His crucifixion. Not the Gethsemane prayer, but another. And it's rather lengthy prayer. And I'm not sure. I tried to think, but as far as I know, that's the longest prayer in the Bible. Now, somebody may find a prayer in the Old Testament that's longer. If you do, let me know. I'd like to know that. But as far as I am able to remember and determine, that's the longest prayer that we have in the Bible, John chapter 17. And I wanted to mention that just to say this. But it's not a prayer that has vain repetitions in it. It's not a wordy prayer, repeating phrases and that sort of thing. It's still, though it is a very long prayer, it is very simple, direct. It's just there's just a lot of things Jesus wanted to pray about. And still, it's a very simply put prayer, and very much shows us how to offer a prayer when we've got a lot of things that we really want to pray about. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, kind of lets us know, I think, the point that I'm trying to make. The writer says, God is in heaven, thou art upon the earth, let thy words be few. Now, we can talk about what few words means, of course, but the point is that when we approach God, the point is we should recognize who He is and not just run off at the mouth with a long, wordy prayer. And I'm talking about not simply public prayers, but private prayers. They need to be to the point. And as the writer said, let thy words be few. Jesus condemned the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 because for a pretense they made long prayers. So when we think about the form of our prayers, we of course can look at the Lord's Prayer to help us with the form. But remember what He has to say in verses 7 and 8. The last thing I want to talk about is the content of prayer. Let me read what is usually called the Lord's Prayer. It's Lord's Prayer in the sense that it is an example prayer that He gave to us. But look at verse 9 beginning at the content. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, of course, you can look at that for the form of prayer, but I want us to talk about the content of prayer for just a minute. And before we look at the details there, I want to say that with regard to content, our prayers to God must be spiritual prayers. Now, there are a couple of places in the New Testament that talks about praying in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul talks about praying in the Spirit. And that little short book of Jude, just one chapter, verse 20, talks about praying in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know whether you've thought about what that means or not, but what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, it's not talking about emotions or anything of this nature. That's not what that's talking about. It talks about praying in the Spirit. Actually, all of our life is to be in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Every aspect of our life is supposed to be in the Spirit. And when we pray in Spirit, it's the same idea. That is, our prayers need to conform to what the Holy Spirit wants. And that should be seen in contrast with praying amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust, as James speaks of in James chapter 4 and verse 3. James says that sort of prayer, a prayer that's out of line, a prayer that's not in keeping with Scripture, a prayer that is not according to the will of the Spirit, but a prayer that simply consume upon our own lust, that's not a prayer that there's any promise being heard. And I guess, again, we have to go to Jesus for the very best example of praying in this sense with regard to the content. And that is when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what He did. Jesus let God know in a prayer how He felt about being crucified. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Had Jesus stopped there, I guess we would have to say it would not have been a spiritual prayer. Jesus did not stop there. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But the spiritual prayer caused Him to say, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, and we discussed this, I believe, the other Wednesday night. We were talking about the passage in Hebrews, for those of us who were in the class, about that He was hurt. I used to think, and I think I was wrong, I've heard this a lot, I used to think that He was hurt in that God answered His prayer. God said no, but send Him strength. No, God said yes to His prayer. Jesus didn't pray that this cup pass. That's not what Jesus wanted. Now, physically, as a human being, that's what He wanted. But Jesus prayed, if it's possible, let the cup pass, but what I really want, God, is Your will to be done. Now, that's a spiritual prayer. That's the way we need to pray. Someone has come up with the idea, and I don't know who was the first to express it, but the idea that prayer is not so much to help God do better, but help us do better. I mean, it is true, we offer our requests to God. We express what we need and what we want. But a spiritual prayer. A spiritual prayer is a prayer that after we've said what we think and what we want, a truly spiritual person is one who is in that prayer, is willing to do as Jesus did, to humbly submit themselves to God's will. And those prayers are always answered. Those prayers are answered. Because the heart of the one who's doing the praying is praying right. Praying that God's will be done. In every prayer that you offer, when you're praying for a sick loved one, when you're praying for some crisis in your own life, and you're making your request known to God, that's fine. Jesus did too. He told God how He felt about being crucified. Yes, we do that. That's a part of praying. But as we offer the prayer, we need to get our hearts in tune with the idea that if that's not what God thinks is best, that whatever God thinks is best, that's what we want. That's what we want. That's the spirit. That's what it means praying in the Spirit. That's a spiritual prayer. And that's not easy to do. You know, we want what we want. If we have some illness, we want it gone. But our attitude needs to be, our heart needs to be, that yes, that's what we want, but God, we really, really want Your will to be done. And if it's Your will, I bear it. Let Thy will be done. Now, that's a spiritual prayer. Look at the prayer here, and you'll see in the Lord's Prayer here, you'll see the content of that, and this would be a very spiritual prayer. And the order in which it's given is very good, too. Not that you necessarily have to do it in this order. But notice how it starts out. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. God's name to be honored. That's the first thing in this prayer. And there are many other ways, of course, of praising God as we introduce ourselves in prayer. Many other ways of expressing it. But hallowed be Thy name, or praise be, or Thou art worthy. Many such ways as we might say that. Then He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Before we even get to what we want, that is, to what we might want personally for ourselves, there is this idea of Thy will be done. Just as it's done in heaven, we want it done on earth. We want that done in our life and in everyone else's life. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then after that, give us this day our daily bread. And I like to contrast. There's a big difference in praying. It's properly right to pray to God for the necessities of life. There's a big difference in praying that and praying, give me the best job around so that I can make lots of money. Now, it's fine if you're looking for a job to talk to God about that, but you give us this day our daily bread. That's suggesting the idea. Not being able to be rich and make lots of money. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a spiritual prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's right to ask God's forgiveness. And I think, of course, Jesus has kind of given us a model prayer here. If there's some specific sins in your life, name them. It won't inform God. God already knows. But it'll help you. It'll help me. Just to name those things. And ask for forgiveness. That will help us to overcome them. And then the next part, of course, is certainly part of the spiritual prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I like to always emphasize that when you pray to God about sin in your life, you pray for forgiveness, but it's never right to stop there. You pray for forgiveness of that sin, but also for help to overcome it. And now, we're not talking, of course, about just mouthing those words. But if in your prayer about sin in your life, if in your prayer you from your heart now, not just saying the words, if you from your heart ask for forgiveness and at the same time genuinely ask for help in overcoming that sin, that'll go a long ways in helping you. And that's a spiritual prayer. It's not, God, forgive me of this sin, so I can go out and do it again. But that's, God, forgive me and help me. Because I want to get that sin out of my life. That's a spiritual prayer. That's praying in the Spirit. And then, of course, He ends it. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Prayer should be a very important part of a Christian's life. And that don't mean that we necessarily offer long, elaborate prayers, but that we offer simple, direct prayers to God. And make sure in your praying, and this is the hard part, make sure in your praying that you're not simply trying to get God to do what you want Him to do, but that really you're expressing your desires, but you're wanting to get yourself, your heart, in tune with God. And know that when you pray like that, the prayer will be answered. The answer will be yes. The prayer will be answered. If you have your heart right, then the prayer will be answered in the very best way. That's the way we want it to be answered. Might be that there's a person here this morning who is not a Christian. You know, if you're not a Christian, you can pray. And certainly God would hear the prayer in the sense that He would be aware of it. But no real promise that He would answer. You don't have the same promise that you do if you're a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you have the promise that He is your Father and He really hears and will answer your prayers. If you're not a Christian, you can become one this morning. You need to believe, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If there's anyone here today that would like to do that,